Okay, we are back again for the second hour of the weekly David John Knight's Reverse Speech Show. My guest today is Brett Alroy, Reverse Speech Analyst from the Gold Coast in Queensland, Australia. And as you can tell by the accents, we have two Aussies on today. We'll get all my listeners educated in Aussie accents by the time we're done. Okay, if you want to call in, the toll-free number is 844-769-2944. That's 844-769-2944. We'd love to hear from you. Okay, Brett, back to you, mate.
Yes, hi. Yes, speaking of accents, what do you think about all the different accents that you hear from various people? You're reversing.
In reverse?
Hmm.
Oh, yeah, well, accents are quite apparent, you know, like American accents you can hear and Aussie accents you can hear. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Go on.
We just did a reversal on, who was it? I can't remember who it was now. One of the characters in the JFK assassination where he says, "In the bastard." You know, and of course it's got the American pronunciation. We'd say bastard, and Americans say bastard. So, you know, so I do notice American pronunciations in my American reversals. Yeah. Why, what was the point you wanted to make?
Oh, it's just some accents are really quite interesting. I mean, or tonalities, not accents that we recognize. But with accents, of course, you know, I mean, you listen to an American speaker in reverse, and sometimes there's an obvious reversal that has an American accent, you know, complete American accent. But many times there isn't. You hear a more neutral accent, or you hear actually particular dialects from England or something. So I hear that all the time. I can hear reversal where, for example, I picked up one from an American speaker, and he or she, I can't remember who it was now, used a West Country accent. What seemed to be a West Country accent in one of her reversals. And this happens all the time, and that's really quite interesting how our subconscious, or the diverse aspects of our subconscious, seem to adopt a particular accent.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and of course, for American speakers, I think I'm an American. American people doing reverse speech, they shouldn't be looking for reversals that have that strong American R, because a lot of them don't have it. Because you have all kinds of different accents occurring, so you really do need to understand English all around the world, and you do get all kinds of accents, and it's absolutely fascinating. But of course, you get lots of tonalities that are not accents. You know, they sound quite different, and that of course makes it harder for us to maybe recognize it because we're not used to it. You see, so we've really got to be used to all these different accents that occur. I mean, that's going to help us hear things.
Sure. Well, reverse speech sometimes has an accent all of its own. It's got that melodious sing-song tone to it, you know, which is quite striking on some reversals, not quite as striking on others, but yeah.
Yeah, there seem to be all kinds. I mean, you get all kinds of monotone kind of things from robotic things, and it's just a whole variety. But it's quite interesting, though. I mean, if you look at the subconscious, I mean, if a person actually speaks with a different accent, if I try to put on an American accent, say, from New York, or an American accent from Alabama, or if I try to sound like Prince Charles or a Scotsman, it's like it triggers a different part of you. I don't know if you recognize that in yourself. You get a different feeling about yourself. So it's like it triggers something. The stereotyping of that, you know, particular group of people triggers some aspect of yourself, and it's almost like the very subconscious aspect take on that and become a little bit semi-autonomous and speak with that accent.
Ah, right.
Yeah. There's a few more reversals I would like to get through if we can, David.
We've got another hour, yeah? So go on.
Yep. Can we go to the Bush file now? Bush Gore?
Yep, Bush Gore. Right, yep, got it.
Now, there's one that happened soon after, from Bush, soon after 9/11, and I think you may have this on your site, and of course, the Pentagon was hit by one of the planes, wasn't it?
Oh, right. Yes.
Yeah, and he's talking about you know, the damage to the Pentagon, and this is October 2001, and he said in reverse, "Sure, after we move it. So it seems that, like, that particular department or certain departments in the Pentagon were going to be no longer there. They're going to be sent, you know, sent somewhere else. So do you have that one?
Yep, sure. Here we go.
It will be repaired. Brick by brick, we will quickly rebuild the Pentagon.
Sure, after we move it.
Sure, after we move it. Sure, after we move it. Sure, after we move it.
And then we have the American accent, after, not after.
Yes. Yeah, I always like that one. Now, there's a very interesting one. There's two I want you to play, and Bush is talking about Colin Powell. And in October the 8th, 2001, he says, your position, share with Powell, right? So, you know, showing a supporting position, right? Now, in November 2002, a year later, he says in forward, you know, I appreciate all the advice I'm getting, you know, I get lots of advice, and he laughs. And he says, be law, they shoot Powell.
Okay,
your position share with Powell.
Okay, so he'll play this one first.
I appreciate the mayor of Washington, D.C. being here. Mr. Mayor, thank you for your cooperation. It's just the beginning of what we need to do together to make sure our nation's capital is safe and secure.
Okay, your position share with Powell.
Your position share with Powell. Your position share with Powell.
Oh, yeah.
Your position share with Powell.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, Powell isn't perfectly clear, but...
K on the end, actually. Let's play it again. I thought I heard a soft K.
Your position share with Powell. Your position share with Powell. Your position share with Powell.
No, I don't think so. Anyway, doesn't matter.
And the other one is be law, they shoot Powell.
Well, we know Powell wasn't shot, so
it's just his attitude.
Yeah, that's well, Powell was really went against the Bush administration. He wasn't in favour of a lot of things the admin was doing, so he resigned. So.
What are your views? Yeah.
Well, I appreciate all the advice I'm getting. One of the things about this job, if you listen carefully, you get a lot of advice.
And they shoot Powell.
Be law, it's your foul.
Oh, be law, they shoot Powell. Sorry.
Be law, it's your foul.
Be law, it's your foul.
Be law, it's your foul.
Huh. Well, maybe he wanted to get rid of Powell, because Powell was...
Well, he's obviously quite nicked off with Powell at that time.
Obviously, yes,
There's a funny, it's only two words. I love the reverse. I burst out laughing every time I hear it. Can I say the SH word?
You can say FH, we know what you mean. Yep.
SH word, yeah, the four letter SH word. It says, oh, then that word. This is about 3 weeks after 9/11. And he's talking about something to do with demand and supply, and it sounds like his heart is not in it at all. And it's like, you know, his mind is, you know, really worried about other things, like what's happened with 9/11. And he says those two words, oh, shh. The way he says it is so funny.
Okay, all right, here we go.
Got to make sure that demand for U.S. products stay strong. Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, right. Sure. Okay. Oh, did you find Choke the Blankers now? Was that one of yours?
Oh, yeah, that was mine. I think that was mine, yeah.
I'd play that.
Oh, yes. That's what I want to play, David. But first, what was happening before they went into Iraq in 2003, at the beginning there, in 2002, they were discussing it in Congress, whether to approve it or not. And a couple of the Democrat congressmen, and is he a congressman there?
Yeah.
They are so funny. There's a swear word there. Can I say that swear word? Was it the lion something?
The lion DH. Yes, we can say that. I can play it on the air. You just can't say it in forward speech. Okay.
So, but,
you all recognize it.
Yeah, but basically the way he says it is so funny. And he says, Lion DH, now all throw up, hurl in it. And in the foreword, he's trying to be so, you know, supportive of George, of Bush.
Uh-huh.
And it's just the complete opposite.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. So here we go.
Mr. President, in your eloquent, powerful, and convincing statement this morning, you have reminded us and, I believe, the American people about why this is such a circumstance. I have felt for more than a decade now that every additional day that Saddam Hussein is in power in Iraq is an additional day of danger.
Okay, we'll play the reverse, and then we've got a caller from Wisconsin who we've got to get to. So just stand by, caller. I'll be with you in one sec. Line D8, now all things throw up, hurl in it.
Now all throw up, sorry.
Line D8.
Line D8.
Yeah.
Line D8.
Yeah, it's nice and clear, line that one.
Line D8.
Oh, I did it again, sorry.
Line D8. No throw up.
No throw up.
No throw up. Hurling it.
Yep, hurling
it. Hurling it.
Yep.
Hurling it.
Okay, it's all there. All right, let's go to our caller. We have a caller on the line, Patrick from Wisconsin. Patrick, you're on the air with Brett and me.
Well, hello, David and Brett. This is Patrick. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you well? just fine.
Great.
Yep, no problem.
So, I wanted to ask you, I had sent you an email, when was it? It was the 12th, regarding a Trump reversal that I found myself.
Oh, yes, I remember that one. Yes, I listened to that. Yeah, that uses the F word, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, exactly. And, I thought that one was very interesting. And you were talking about how there, you can notice accents even in reversals. And I noticed while listening to that whole speech in reverse, that's basically what I did, was just listen to it. I even fell asleep listening to it, kind of, you know, it's a very strange way, but I noticed he's got a Scottish accent, and I think that's from his mother's side, because she was Scottish.
Oh, okay, right.
So when listening to him in reverse, I can kind of pick up that accent. You know, he's got kind of I don't know how to do. I can't do a Scottish accent myself, but anyway, I found that reversal very interesting. You had a chance to listen to it.
Yeah, I did listen to it, and I thought it was there. Yes. I should have emailed you back. Sorry, I just get so many emails, I get bombarded by them.
It's a really interesting reversal. Basically, he's talking about, in the forward speech, about Time Magazine, the New York Times, the Washington Post, and then in reverse, I won't say the word, but he says, Michelle was not pro-union, they're blanking us. Now, what I take that to mean is, he's talking about the news reporter, Michelle Field, who was the she was allegedly manhandled, by Donald Trump's campaign manager, Corey Lewandowski, and, Donald Trump was not endorsed by the anti-union governor here, Scott Walker, which I found very interesting, because Scott Walker had gone against the teachers union here because of teacher tenure problems, and they had contract negotiations where they wanted to do combined collective bargaining. Anyway, so I thought you would find that very interesting, and I hope you have a chance to play it for Jeff sometime.
All right. Okay, I will. I've got the email here. Well, maybe do it on Jeff's show tonight. Okay, on Jeff's show tonight.
Okay? Wonderful. Thank you, sir. You have a great night.
Thanks for the call, Pat.
It's very interesting, your reversals as well. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, no worries. All right, we have Tom from California. Tom, you're on the air. Tom, are you with us?
Yes.
Hi, sir. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I was wondering if you ever did, or I would like to see you do it on Connecticut and the Sandy Hook, some of like the governor and the other people.
Yeah, you're actually the second person who's asked me to do that this week. I guess I should have a look at it now. Well, what do you think we'd find?
Maybe you can even have Wolfgang on there with you as a guest.
Oh, okay. What do you think we'd find?
You'd really only need the reverse to see the line in it, but I just wonder what else are they actually saying, you know? I wonder if they'll say the Second Amendment or gun control or nobody really died.
Yeah, right.
We did
reverse the Jeff Rentz program for Lavoy Levinikin, and he said he wasn't armed in reverse. Of course, he was shot dead. All right, Tom, no worries, mate. I will put that on my list of my ever-growing list of things that people want me to reverse, okay?
Oh, I'm sure. Matter of fact, I wish I could learn it.
We do have regular training classes. Next one's starting in October.
Starting in October?
Uh-huh. That's when the next one's starting. Yeah, you'll hear all about it on the radio show. I'll be promoting it a fair bit. So.
Okay. Thank you, David.
Okay. Thanks, Tom. Thanks for the call.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Okay, Brad, back to you.
Yes, good. Great to have callers come in.
I know. It's exciting. I like getting callers. I had 3 callers the other day on my show. So that was good.
So that was really interesting. You don't have to play it, but the second congressman said they'll see a war. Mm. Yeah, and that was in 2002, a few months before they went into Iraq. And, of course, there was that one at the Congress where Bush says, choke the effers now. And he's actually talking about Congress and Ford's speech.
This is a funny one. I play this one all the time. Listen to this one, folks.
There's time to get all this done, and we look forward to working with the members of Congress to get it done. I'll answer a couple of questions, starting with Fournier of the AP.
And this reversal occurs right where he says, we look forward to working with Congress. And back with choke the blankers now.
Choke the blankers now. Choke the blankers now.
Yeah, very funny reversal. I didn't know you found that one.
I enjoy
that one all the time. That's a standard reversal I play in my lectures.
Yeah. Bush was a source of great entertainment, and so was Al Gore. And I would like to actually talk a little bit about how Al Gore sabotaged himself. He kept on giving really positive, overconfident, super confident reversals, and then he did the opposite. And you can see how he just kept on sabotaging himself, and he didn't sort of make it. And so, can we have a look at a few of those? This is kind of, we'll look at some back in the debate when he was debating. I think with Tim Lehrer was the host there, and this is kind of back in, you know, before Bush became president. And for example, Gore's talking about Bush, and he says, under Bush, Texas has sunk to be 50 out of 50. And he says, he's so stupid. Do you see that one?
Hang on, he's so stupid. Yep, got it. Okay, here we go. So here's the forwards.
Under Governor Bush, Texas has sunk to be 50th out of 50 in healthcare, in health insurance for their citizens.
This is before he was VP, I guess. This is why on the campaign trail. Seniors moment. Gore was running against Bush. Right, mm-hmm. So this is in the campaign. Okay, so he's so stupid.
He's so stupid. He's so stupid.
Oh, yeah, clear.
He's so stupid.
No, that's funny. Yeah.
There's actually another one. Tim Lehrer is asking Al Gore about, you know, same-sex marriage, I think. And you've actually got some of this on your website, I think the last part. And he said, Gore says, get the weird deal. And the weird must relate to, you know, gays. For example, get the weird deal. He might be relating that to that. And he said, listen, I knew you would do this. You know, ask this question, basically. Listen, I knew you would do this. And he goes, now I must lie a lot.
Huh. Okay.
Remember
right.
You've got part of that on your website.
Do I? No, I don't remember. So, all right. Okay, so here we go.
I agree with that, and I did support that law. But I think that we should find a way to allow some kind of civic unions. And I basically agree with Dick Cheney.
Okay, so you got this split. Get the weird deal. Listen, I knew you'd give us. Is that the first one?
I knew you would do this.
Oh, I knew you would do this. Sorry. Okay.
Get the weird deal.
Get the weird deal.
Okay.
Get the weird deal.
And I knew you'd do this. Now I must lie a lot.
I knew you'd give us stuff. Now I must lie a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I knew you'd give us stuff. Now I must lie a lot. I knew you'd give us stuff. Now I must lie a lot.
Yeah, that one's not as clear as some of the other ones, Brett.
Yeah, but he says ah before now I must, but after I, he's got a bit of a k sound there, so he goes ah now I must lie a lot, yeah, like that. I'm just looking for some more of these positive and negative ones from him. You've got, let's see. Yeah, actually, what was interesting here is after Bush got in, Gore had some interviews, like in the following year. And here's one. There's one where he's in an interview, and I think it was late. It was November 2002, and they were deciding whether to have a go again in to start again in early 2003. Right, I think it was February 2003. And he's with Tipper Gore, his wife. And Tipper Gore says, now for February, and then Gore says, I'll work 'em.
Okay. We're right on top of our break. We'll see how much we can get in before the music comes in. So, music's coming right now. We'll play this reversal when we come back from the break. See you in a sec, guys.
Do you struggle with your weight? Are you frustrated or discouraged? Think you've tried everything to lose weight? Tired of weight loss products that promise results and don't deliver? There are 12 main reasons why you struggle with excess weight and have a difficult time losing it. From overeating to hormonal imbalances, an underactive thyroid, even sleep problems, and even dieting itself. The truth is, the 12 causes of weight loss problems are all addressed by one product, Royal Velvet. You, yes you, can join the scores of Rinse listeners who have stopped the madness and no longer struggle with weight issues. Maybe you've heard them talk with Jeff about their amazing transformations on his show. Simply go to RoyalVelvetNow.com, click on the weight loss section, and learn the truth about the real reason obesity is a deadly epidemic that you can avoid. Then click on the Rinse icon in the upper right-hand corner, and you will be on your way to a healthier, slimmer, more youthful you. RoyalVelvetNow.com. Your life will never be the same.
If you've been listening to this program for any length of time, you'll know that Fukushima, the greatest calamity in history, has now, as I've been warning since 3/11, killed off virtually the whole North Pacific Ocean, and especially up and down the entire West Coast. The radiation is migrating inland and is moving across the entire country. There's only one proven defender to radiation exposure, the brilliant Chernobyl-proven discovery of Dr. Michael Kiriak, which combines the four most potent and powerful algaes on the planet, imported to the U.S. and known as Bio's Superfood. I've taken Bio's Superfood every day for several years now and want you to do the same for your sake and the health and safety of your family and loved ones. Take the banner at the top of Rents.com and prepare to learn how to save your life.
are back for our final section of this week's David John Oates Reverse Speech Show. You still got time to call in. That toll-free number, once again, is 844-769-2944. 844-769-2944. Brett, before we run out of time, I want to ask you how your linguistic training helps you with reverse speech.
Yes, well, linguistics teaches you about the linguistic processes, what actually is happening, and how sounds and syllables relate to each other, and what can actually happen. So you know, it gives me a deeper understanding of what's actually happening, you know, in language. And I use that to understand more about how sounds are relating to each other. So I find it extremely beneficial using that linguistic analysis. Of course, you know, when we listen to reversal, the whole thing, that's fine. I mean, that's how we normally listen to people speak.
Right.
But getting down there to the phonemic level really helps me to work out. I'm applying a lot of factors to things. Because, you know, there are a lot of reversals that are not completely clear, but it doesn't mean that they're not reversals. You see?
Right.
You've got to sort of weigh it up. You go in there and you know that this sound or that sound or this phoneme is not actually the right one, but it doesn't mean that it's not the reversal at all. Because that happens in forward speech. I mean, you take sections of forward speech and you hear all kinds of things that doesn't sound like what the person is saying. You hear different phonemes and the person's not actually really saying that, but that's what happens. So,
and you can hear different things in forward speech sometimes too. You know, I remember sometimes I've documented the forward segment and then go and listen again and think, how on earth did I hear it that way?
So it is really useful applying that. So for me, I've really got to apply both. Everything is just an enormous number of factors I weigh up, and the whole grammar structure, the holistic thing, what's actually happening in the particular phonemes and syllables, and what's actually happening in the forward speech, and I make a decision based on that. And of course, you know, I mean, there are imperfections. But like I said, it doesn't mean it's not a reversal, but you really need that knowledge to really make a good decision about it.
I actually just saw this in a tape I just did for a client yesterday about a business deal. He was going into, and we only got one reversal, and he asked me to go back over the section again, and so I did. And this time I found three or four extra ones, which I normally wouldn't document because I didn't meet the criteria. Well, applied in those extra reversals, and those extra reversals that normally would document were the ones that had his answer. So it's a tough call sometimes. What do you document and what do you throw out? You know,
It is. Yeah, you need as much equipment kind of thing as you can to really make that decision. There's really a lot in it, David.
Yeah.
Really not.
Yeah, it's not as easy as just running a tape backwards, folks. If you think it's that simple, you're wrong. There's a lot of factors that go into it, you know, and the imagination factor is very, very high. And of course, I try to get rid of that in my training class with some success, I think. So, yeah. Okay, shall we go on to some more reversals?
Yeah, you had that one now for February. I'll work them.
Yep, we got that one up. Okay, so here we go.
I wanted to take some time off and just listen to Tipper make comments like that for a while.
Yeah, we've had some fun.
Okay, so now for February, I'll work them.
February?
I'll work them.
Oh, that's the February's on the woman, and I'll work them on gold.
Yes, exactly.
I'll work
them.
Oh.
February?
I'll work them.
Huh.
February? I'll work them.
I'll be bothered.
if they had actually said in the interview they were going to make a decision early in the year.
All right.
And there you go.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well,
it, In the same interview, the interviewer said people come up and say, yeah, you're a screwed. What do you feel about that? And Gore said, I hate that. Soon we'll beat the loser. And this is in November 2002. So he wanted another shot at Bush.
Oh, did he? Okay, all right.
I'll bet people come up to you and they say, you know what, you were screwed. Now, do you feel that way yourself?
About 50.1% of the people do say that. Yeah.
Okay, I hate that. Soon we'll beat the loser.
I hate that. Soon we'll beat the loser.
Well, he didn't go in for another crack at Bush, did he?
He had a lot of sabotage happening. Like, for example, do you see Gore, I hate to win?
Oh, really? I hate to win. Oh, that's a sabotage. Where is that? Got it. Okay, so let's play this one.
Not just low-income seniors, middle-class seniors also, and they would get help with 50% of all of their costs for prescriptions up to...
Yeah, I hate to win.
I hate to win.
Oh, yeah.
I hate to win.
Huh.
I hate to win.
Yeah, well, he needs to get rid of that if he's ever going to be president, which he won't now. Too late.
That was the debate with Bush. But in February 2002, he said, there's a doubt. When asked, is he going to go for 04? He said, I haven't made up my mind. And in reverse, he said, there's a doubt.
Oh, got it. Okay, here we go.
I'm announcing leadership 02.
How about 04?
I'm not going to announce that tonight. I haven't made up my mind on that.
There's a doubt.
There's a doubt.
Yeah, well, there was a doubt. He did go for it.
very quick. You've also got one on your website. You got part of it. When it's finished, console me. I don't know. I was a wimp. Do you remember that one?
No, I don't remember that one.
This was the Bush-Gore debate. However, there's a bit more at the beginning, and I included that. It starts with ass in mud.
I've got it.
But the problem here is that some of it's not clear. Ass and mud, I think that's okay. Then it's got a spoon, and then it's got two words. I'm not sure about what those words are, so I just put it as will fed, you know, which doesn't make a lot of sense. Well, I mean, spoon, being fed a spoon, I don't know. But that's not very clear. Then it's got, when it's finished, console me. I don't know, I was a wimp dad.
Wow. Okay. All right, here we go.
It was not finished in a way that removed Saddam Hussein from power. I know there are all kinds of circumstances and explanations, but the fact is that that's the situation.
Goes right in there. What is it? Ass in mud, a spoon, wolf fed? Okay.
I was a wimp, Dad.
Okay.
I made a mess of that forward speech. Just ignore that part. Go on to the reversal.
Okay. So next one. Ass in mud, a spoon will fed.
Ass in mud, a spoon will fed. Yeah, when it's in a console me.
Okay, I can hear all of it. Okay. Ass in mud, a spoon will fed. Yeah, when it's finished, console me. Okay.
Of course he says console and not console, and I'm not sure about that rule fed. It could be something else.
Oh, I can hear it. I'll play it again. Yep, and one more speed. Here we go. And I don't know, I was a wimp dad. Because wasn't his dad a senator?
I think so.
I can't remember now. I think he was. Yeah. Okay, so here we go.
Yep,
that's all there. I'll be bothered.
When I sent you that one, I actually hadn't had Dad on the end. I found Dad a bit later and realized that could be a part of it. Yeah. There are other ones. Yeah. Actually, have a go at this one. This is one of those ones that you call a link reversal, David, where two people combine to actually make one reversal.
Oh,
they're called link reversals, right? Now, this is a little bit interesting. Some interviewer, a female interviewer, is interviewing Gore. And she's asking Gore, you've never told a lie? Not a single one. And she says Al Gore's nut, and then Gore finishes it with E, O-A. So it's like Al Gore's nutty, O-A. And it's like he's acting like a clown.
Oh, okay.
And that sounds like it's a bit of a strange one, but so she starts with Al Gore's nut, and then he finishes the nut T, and then says okay. Oh, hey. So of course, what happens in reverse speech quite a lot with T's is that they're not always alveolar T's, and that the tongue sits on the alveolar ridge behind the teeth. Quite often, you get this glottal T happening. And that happens quite a lot in reverse speech where, you know, if I say, you know, got a new motor.
Right.
It's not an alveolar T. It's kind of glottalized. It's back in the throat. So it's kind of Al Gore's na e o a.
Okay, all have right. You got that so one? Yep, okay.
Let me say that.
Not a single one.
Yeah.
Not a told a lie.
Well, look, Lisa,
Okay, Al Gore's nut E U A.
Al Gore's nut E
O
A. Oh, yeah.
Al Gore's nut E
O A. Al Gore's nut E O A.
Did you see how he's finishing it?
How he's finishing it. So he agrees with the statement.
He's acting like a clown. He often does that in reverse. Acts like a clown. Yeah, there's quite a few there. Anyway, we don't have to play all of those. I'm just wondering if there's any more. Look, there's a Bush Gore one where it says, it's back in the debate, and it says, Hyde, the world will end if I go.
This is on Gore, right?
Gore, yeah.
Hyde, the world will end if I go. Where is it? Can't see it. Oh, you got it. Got it. Here we go.
What's your philosophy and what's your position on issues? But can you get things done? And I believe I can. All right. What about the Denton Norwood bill?
Okay. The world will end if I go.
The world will end if I go.
Yeah, it's there.
The world will end if I go.
Bit robotic and quick. It's got that staccato type sound, which is common in reverse to hear reversals have that robotic type sound.
Yeah, it is quite common in reverse speech. I mean, I accept that as a particular tonality in reverse speech. Yeah. We got a bit more time. Yeah, so with as I was saying before, I find a lot of reverse speech are a series of comments. And you've got to kind of like, I often listen to something, it's like several words long, and I realize something's kind of wrong somewhere in the middle, something's not sounding right. And I have a closer look, and I go into a close examination of it, and I realize it's actually two separate comments, even though it goes directly from each other, and there's no pause. So it's two separate comments without a pause, and I find that all the time now in reverse speech. And I think it's one of the nuances of reverse speech, in my opinion.
Yeah, right, okay. Do you have any examples here?
Probably a bit hard for me to find one now.
Yeah, no,
I should have made a list and done that anyway. I can't find one at the moment, but if I come across one next few minutes, I'll let you know.
Right.
So, actually, there's an Edward Kennedy one there.
Oh, is there?
Did you see that?
Don't
Kennedy?
See.
Kennedy.
I got Lear. The Gore, Bush Gore thing?
Kennedy after Gore.
All I got after Gore is Lear. Will you chill out, sir?
that's a pity. Oh, I wonder what happened to it. Was it in the... No, it wouldn't be in the Afghanistan one. Oh, never mind. Yeah, no, there was one particularly one. There was one there, Edward Kennedy, in 2002. And he said he's in the car where he's wounded.
Oh, interesting. Oh, I would
that
like to see that. Oh, what
so
a shame.
Do you think he's talking about JFK?
Well, sure. Absolutely he is. Sure. It's on
so,
his mark.
So basically, if he's talking, I mean, he's also using present tense. He is in the car where he's wounded. So what we see here is actually a memory occurring.
Right.
And I think... You can't find it, huh? It's not in the other folder, Kennedy?
I'll look in the other folder. Hang on. Ah, here it is. Yeah, it's in the other folder. Got it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Here we go. So he's in the car where he's wounded.
I have heard no persuasive evidence that Saddam is on the threshold of acquiring the nuclear weapons he has sought for more than 20 years.
Okay, he's in the car where he's wounded.
He's in the car where he's wounded.
Oh, yeah.
He's in the car where he's wounded. He's in the car where he's wounded.
Yeah, he's remembering. He's remembering. It's... I mean, that's a huge event to happen to America and to his brother, you know, so it's obviously hot in his mind. Yeah, so
we see he's talking about Saddam Hussein, so it's not related directly to what he's talking about. So we see how the memory can come up in your subconscious and produce things. And of course we realize, I mean, all we have to do is walk down the street and things that we see and sounds we hear kind of trigger things. So even though it's not directly about what's happening around us, it's triggering something in our experience or something that we've internalized in the past.
Right. Yeah, that makes total sense. Absolutely it does. Yeah.
I'm just looking... There's one here that I find quite amusing because Bush often kind of spoke a bit like a baby, and I think you've got a couple there like... what was it? I can't remember now, but there's one here where he's with an old lady in the White House, and she's donated some painting to him, and he makes a kind of a bit of a joke in forward speech, and so this old lady seemed to have reminded him of his mother, and I don't know if I can say the word here, David. Just have a look at it. Do you see the one where it says Bush Thing Hide? You got to go back to Bush Gore.
Bush what? What's the...
Thing Hide. Can I say that word?
Yeah, you can say that. Yeah.
Okay. And he says, Thing Hide, the wanker, mama. So it's almost like he's remembering something that happened when he was a kid and his mother caught him.
Oh, wow. That's quite... Okay, here we go.
Mrs. King, thanks for this beautiful portrait. I can't wait to hang it.
Thing Hide, the wanker mama.
Thing Hide, the wanker mama. Thing Hide, the wanker mama.
Oh, the tonality is classic.
Thing Hide, the wanker mama.
Oh, what a great rehearsal. Oh, I'm going to use that one. That's classic.
Oh, he was just great value. He was great value.
Yeah. Yes, he certainly was. I'll be bothered. What an amazing rehearsal.
Yeah.
All right, we've got about 10 minutes left, or not even 10, about 6. Get out your website, Brett, so people can go and
yes,
look.
Yes, my website, so it's reversespeechanalysis.org. It's a blog.
Okay, reversespeechanalysis.org. And you've got quite a few examples up there. You've done some work on the Cunts Org case.
That's Dior Kunz case. Of course, we had that website produced by that fellow fairly recently, and I had a closer look at it, and you know, most of it was not good quality.
Right. Well,
and
he took his website down.
He did after that. Yes.
Yes, he did. The website hasn't gone back up again either.
No.
Because I made a few little posts on Facebook about the breach of copyright and trademark, and I think that must have scared him off.
Yeah, So I've been doing a little bit on that. I've listened to some of the audios, and I've put some posts up. This blog site, for me, it's not all about posting the clearest reversal. For me, it's kind of an exploration of reverse speech. So I'm trying to work on what makes reverse speech. I mean, is this a reversal or not a reversal? So this reversal, it's not perfect here, it's not perfect there. It could be a wrong phoneme, but based on everything else and all the other factors, is it a reversal? So that's kind of the goal of this blog, to address that. So not everything I put there is going to be clear. So it's kind of an examination of reverse speech.
Oh, well, people should definitely go and look at that if you want a linguistic perspective. And Brett's the only person with linguistic qualifications who's involved in reverse speech. And he brings a wealth of experience. And I really appreciate your involvement in the whole field. And you've taken issue with a couple of my reversals in the past. And I've agreed with your issues. I've got to look at those Kennedy ones yet. I just haven't had time. I've been so
That's okay. Yeah, so I've got a few up there at the moment, but I've looked at, for example, Jessica Mitchell, which was the mother of Dior Kunz, and her 9/11 call. And there's some interesting stuff that comes up, but what we're seeing, you know, it's very much what we're seeing is their subconscious. You know, the point of the matter is we're primarily looking at the person's subconscious mind, right, or unconscious.
Yes.
You get all kinds of things happening. You know, I mean, is it directly related to what they're saying, or is there a trigger to something in the past, and they're remembering something from the past? So it's really the idea for me, what is actually doing the speaking is interesting, and I'm still kind of got a big question mark over my head on that. Because I kind of see, of course, we have the metaphorical side, don't we, David? And you know, the higher self kind of aspect of it. But then we've got, for me, the subconscious is like a whole series of different personalities, kind of become semi-autonomous. I'm actually very interested in the work of Howland Sidra Stone in voice dialogue.
Okay.
And then they speak to people and the different personalities. So they get them to sit in different chairs, and a different personality comes out. And the different personalities speak about the speaker in the third person, he or she. So, you know, for me, I mean, you hear all these different accents, different tonalities occurring, so I kind of look at it as a whole lot of different personality aspects speaking.
Yeah. Well, there's so much going on. Trying to sort it all out is quite an amazing feat. Yeah. But anyway, it's an amazing field, reverse speech, and certainly glad you're involved. Look, we've got time for maybe one or two more reversals. Anything else you want to play?
There was plenty on the website there, but maybe we can go back to the file.
Uh-huh.
And let's go.
Oh,
back.
What's this? Finding her, Bill kissed her. What's that one?
Yeah. I was actually looking at the very same one there, David.
Oh, well, let's play it. Okay.
Because it was, what was happening? Bush was talking about some humanitarian aid worker. Apparently, someone was kidnapped. Some female humanitarian aid worker, and I think it was a bit of a thing in his brain that, well, if Bill Clinton found her, he would kiss her.
Yeah, that'd be right. Okay, here we go.
Of the humanitarian aid workers, and make no mistake about it, the other two will be met, particularly bringing Al-Qaeda to justice.
Finding her, Bill kissed her.
Finding her, Bill kissed her. Finding her, Bill kissed her. Finding her, Bill kissed her.
Yeah, you know what? It was interesting. Hillary Clinton had an attack at Trump over his attitude towards women a few weeks ago, and then the Trump came back and said to Hillary, "Have you ever met Bill Clinton?" And it was, she totally shut up after that. No comments anywhere. That was really quite funny. Bill Clinton's reputation with women is not exactly Pope status. Although, when you see the Pope's reversals, maybe it is Pope status. Oh dear. Alright.
There's a Bush there. Well, Bush one I'd like you to play, because it says, "Some help, I'm a failure." Now,
okay.
Now, what's interesting, I'll just explain that. What's interesting, he actually says something, and when he first says something, he says the reversal. Then what happens for a few seconds, he kind of goes blank.
Okay, let's do it.
It's like the reversal triggered something in him, and he lost his track for a few seconds. So just have a play of that.
Okay, we may have just enough time to squeeze it in.
You asked about promises. You were promised that Medicare would be reformed.
Okay, some help, I'm a failure.
I'm a failure. I'm a failure.
All right, on that note, we'll finish the show. Thanks for joining us, Brett. And
thank you very much for having me on, David.
No worries, my pleasure. We'll see you all next week, everyone. Bye-bye.
I'd like to invite you to take a look at some of the most important products in the realm of health and hygiene I've ever seen, all from Trioxy. As many of you know, ozone oxygen is highly effective for many different uses in the home or office place, from purifying the air you breathe to the water you drink. In fact, the city of Los Angeles, among others, uses ozone to purify the drinking water for millions. Uses of ozonated water produced by the Trioxy Pure include washing your hands, disinfecting cuts and infections, brushing your teeth, and even washing and sanitizing fruits and vegetables in the kitchen. Meanwhile, the Trioxy Re-Ion ozone negative ion generator will clean your indoor air of pollen, smoke, odors, mold, bacteria, and viruses, and more, and will put extra oxygen into your bloodstream and clean your body just by you being there. I hope you'll drop by and visit GoHealthyNext.com and take a look. The prices are more than affordable, and the results are priceless. That's GoHealthyNext.com.
Known worldwide as the most consistently fascinating, informative, and unique program on radio, the Jeff Rentz program can be yours to listen to anytime, anywhere, whenever you want to hear it. For pennies a day, our subscribers can download any of Jeff's thousands of programs featuring a treasury of newsmakers, researchers, eyewitnesses, and incredible subjects, all in MP3, commercial-free, crystal-clear 56-bit digital sound, and take these often unforgettable programs with them wherever they go. As a subscriber, you can also listen live at airtime, online, anywhere in the world, or browse through our archives of over 6,000 hours of legendary broadcasts. Subscribe now by taking the link at the top of Rentz.com and enrich your mind with the most unique panorama of vital information and the best independent, honest journalism in radio. Look for the Subscribe Now link on Rentz.com and give yourself the knowledge you need for these unprecedented times.